Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In Victor Valle's new book, The Poetics of Fire, Metaphors of Chile Eating in the Borderlands, we learn the rich history of the humble Chile from ancient Mexico to the present, a key ingredient in the lives of so many today. The simple fruit, or is it a vegetable, has its genetic roots dating back 7,000 years, maybe even more, as documented by indigenous peoples of Mexico. Valle tells a fascinating story that starts with pre-Hispanic science and knowledge born from the simple chile, and it endures still today. The chile is a fundamental part of Mexican cuisine. In these divisive times, the chile can be a metaphor for understanding the shared cultural histories of Latinos and Chicanos from ancient times to today. To tell us more, I'm joined by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and professor Victor Valle. He's joining us by Skype. Victor, welcome.
Hello.
So, Victor, the chile is super unique in the deep variety and flavors and picanteness. Can you give us a brief history of how the chile came to be so important in ancient Mexico?
Well, sometime around 7,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, people began collecting it. During about a 2,000-year process, they began selecting varieties. So they're going into the bush, so to speak, and bringing back varieties. And those seeds are getting into the middens or the trash heaps in their neighborhoods or wherever they are. And they're growing, and then people begin to select the process and picking the ones they like. They think now that that process began in the region of what is now eastern Oaxaca. Over a 2,000-year period, domesticated varieties begin to emerge.
Mm. I mean, you describe how the native people then, the Nahuatl people, had a whole system for grading the spiciness, the picanteness of the chile. Can you describe that?
Basically, they had about, eight or nine terms. It's kind of like their version of the Scoville scale. The Scoville scale is what we use now, where you measure the strength of the chili through its dilution in water. But they had eight or nine terms. In the book, I give all the terms where they say hotter, 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 hotter still. Mm. And so we know that because a lot of their records were chronicled or preserved, but other native peoples in Mesoamerica were doing the same thing. The people, for example, the people of the La Cañada region are the ancestors of the Mixtec and Zapotec people today. A lot of different communities were involved in this.
Yeah, and I mean, that leads to this neuroscience that indigenous people were utilizing, very sophisticated thinking pre the idea of neuroscience even existing per se. Explain what you know about the chile and this early neuroscience that was being used.
Recent studies, and this has been going on for some time now, have isolated what is called TRPV1, which is this nerve receptor embedded in each taste bud. And this TRPV1, this receptor, is really important now. Two fellows who won the Nobel Prize a few years ago realized that this nerve receptor was part of how we experience our embodiment, what it's called proprioception. There are others, how mm-hmm. we feel gravity, mm-hmm. how we feel movement. For Native people, they were talking about chili as heat. In the first chapter, I talk about this story goes back to around 800, 700 AD, and where the metaphors of chili are explained in terms of heat. Well, TRPV1 is a nerve receptor that tells us that when we eat chili, we are experiencing heat. Now, it's not actual heat. It's like fake heat because it's tricking our body to think, oh, this is painful. It is hot. We shouldn't eat it.
So interesting.
But for the ancient people, they were very aware that their metaphors or their perception of the experience was explained in terms of heat.
Yeah. So then I want to ask you, obviously, chiles are a very sensory experience. So from the taste that you just described, anything from mild to, well, explosive. Then there are the aromas of roasting chiles that, you know, the nose just can't avoid. The zing to the mm-hmm. eyes when chiles are being smoked or simmered. Even the tingle on the fingertips when maybe chopping or handling chiles. And that can be too much for some people. But I have to say, for Mexicanos and others like us South Asian Indians, we love them. And I wonder if you have a theory as to how chiles came to be so deeply embedded in the culture and cuisine of pre-Hispanic Mexico.
Yes. When people are gathering chilies, they're gathering wild chilies. And those wild capsicum annuums are extremely hot, but their sensation fades quickly. The other thing we know from, as I think, and I give the exact date so I could get the date wrong here, but as I think 3,000 years ago, they found cave middens in which they had evidence of 7 different varieties of chili. So over a matter of a short, rather short period of time, people are using different strains of chili for different purposes. And a lot of the things that we think would be modern uses of chili, dry chili, green chili, were already known that many thousand years ago.
Well, that leads me to asking you about present-day Mexican cooks. I mean, present-day, I mean even, say, going back to your grandmother, who you've talked about, used her tiny little yard in Los Angeles to recreate the plains of her home in Chihuahua, where she grew chiles and then taught your mum how to roast and peel and seed and use them in traditional cooking. And I'm just wondering, make that connection for us to how, you know, something that was such a deep part of ancient Mexico then travels through immigrant families to present-day Los Angeles.
I mean, it's like an ongoing process. But what's interesting is it begins in the 16th century when Spain sets about to colonize what we call the Southwest. So this has been a continual process where seeds are brought up and planted and tested. At the table, the chili experience can have 2 completely different interpretations. One of them is for children who bite their nails. I remember they would put the vinegar from chiles en escabeche, which are pickled chilies, on the finger. So that was telling, okay, in this context, this is pain. But at the same table, we would be eating, and I remember my mother would make food that would be rather bland for us, and we would aspire to eat like the grown-ups. So that was one of the that sort of very complex negotiation of what of contextual meaning. In one context, it's pain, and the other context, we want to be grown-ups. We want to know what everybody else is knowing. So that is an ongoing process. But as you were mentioning, this is immigrants today, all kinds of immigrants from Oaxaca continue to arrive in the borderlands in California, for example. We have a large Oaxaca native community here, and they are planting and growing varieties, testing varieties, adapting their food. We have very large and active farmers markets here in my area where I live in San Luis Obispo. And you can go there and you can see a process of people recreating all of their cuisines.
So, Victor, end for us with maybe a little use of your metaphor. Continue that with the chile to when I think about the times that we're living in right now, which really, when it comes to ideas of immigration and who can be here and how people come here, you know, it's very divisive. And I feel like the case you make is that the chile is actually something that unites us and bonds us. Is there anything in that as we head into this very contentious election year, one might say?
Oh, that's a big question. I will just go back to the beginning of the introduction where I quote this great Oaxacan cook. She's quite famous. And she talks about her kitchen as a loom. At first, I thought, well, this is just a beautiful metaphor, but I didn't realize that her metaphor is one of many, the native Mesoamerican and other native people of the Southwest think of in what we call in relational terms, in ecological terms, of everything being related to everything else. So when she was talking about that, it was a different way of experiencing our presence here and relating to other people, and a very powerful metaphor. And it's also a metaphor we can use to develop a practice of daily living, of instead of seeing harsh divisions between borders and people and genders and this and that, we can say everything is related.
Great note to end on. Victor Valle is a Pulitzer-winning journalist and professor emeritus from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in California. Victor, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.